right now on the Daily Debrief.
Bang, bang. Rapid. Double tap.
A Dallas police officer accused of murder.
I shot a guy thinking that he was... thinking it was my apartment.
She says she thought he was an intruder, but she was in the wrong apartment.
Oh my God, I'm done. I didn't mean to.
The defense says the mistake is common.
38 tenants that lived on the third and fourth floor reported doing the exact same thing.
This is the first time it turned deadly. And the jury has the case of a Florida man accused of murdering a 9-year-old girl, where even the defense admits,
no little girl should ever have to suffer as Felicia Williams has suffered.
Is it enough to save a man from a possible death sentence? The Daily Debrief brings you the day in court. It's Wednesday, September 25th.
Welcome to the Debrief, everybody. For those of you watching on the Law and Crime Network, we are here early today so that the network can continue live coverage of the murder trial of Amber Guyger into the evening. Guyger is the Dallas police officer accused of shooting and killing Botham Jean. Guyger went home, opened the door, saw the victim, and opened fire, thinking he was an intruder. She was in the wrong apartment. Watching with us tonight are attorneys Lisa Lockwood and Jesse Weber, along with forensic death investigator Joseph Scott Morgan. Let's listen now to the defendant's 911 call from the shooting scene.
Dallas 911, this is Carla. What's your emergency?
Hi, this is an off-duty officer. Can I get on your email? I'm in number. I'm an off-duty officer. I thought it was in my apartment, and I shot a guy thinking it was my apartment.
He shot someone?
Yes, I thought it was my apartment. Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Okay, and where are you at right now?
I'm inside the apartment with him. Hey, come on.
What's your name?
I'm Amber Guyger. I need to get me.
Okay, we have help on the way.
I know, but I'm gonna lose my job. I thought it was my apartment. I need a new supervisor. Hey, bud. I thought it was my apartment. I could have sworn I parked on the third floor.
Okay, I understand.
I thought it was my apartment.
Okay, and what floor are you in right now?
The fourth floor. Hey, bud, they're coming. Hey, bud. I'm sorry, man.
Okay, where was he shot?
He's on the top left. Oh my God, I'm done. I didn't mean to. I'm so sorry. Stay with me, bud. She's tired. Hurry. Over here.
Okay, go ahead and talk to her.
No, it's me. I'm off duty. I thought they were in my apartment. I thought this was my floor.
That's one perspective on what happened. Prosecutors also showed the jury body camera footage from the responding police officers who rushed in to render aid.
The video starts in the parking garage at the apartment complex where Amber Guyger and Botham Jean lived. Officers struggled to enter. Defendant Amber Guyger gave 911 dispatchers the code to open the gate. Then the frantic officers ran up the stairs, trying to reach the fourth floor where the shooting occurred. They arrive, then snake through the labyrinth-like corridors to Botham John's apartment. The defendant's voice attracted their attention. Inside, a shaken defendant said she thought she was in her own apartment when she pulled the trigger. Guyger said she shot Botham Jean in the top left. She shot twice, but only struck him once. Then the first responders tried in vain to save Jean's life. Jean died at the hospital.
And that's another perspective. Now to testimony. A witness who lived in that apartment complex said he might have heard two people talking just before the gunfire rang out.
What I would describe was two people meeting each other on a surprise. So I'm assuming, you know, the door's open and two people meet, and then I hear the two gunshots go off.
Okay, so let's stop there for a second. You said when you get to the conjunction between the two hallways, you hear what sounds like two people meeting by surprise. Mm-hmm. Is that a yes?
Yes, ma'am.
Was it two separate voices?
Yes.
Could you tell if one of the voices was giving loud commands like stop, police, or anything of that nature.
Yeah, but no, that wasn't what they were saying.
That's not what you heard?
No.
Okay. However, you say you didn't hear exactly what you heard.
No, I can't say I heard any type of words that I can make out.
Once you in that conjunction between the two hallways and hear the voices and the pop, how soon after the voices did you hear the sounds of gunshots?
Right after.
It was
right after.
Quick?
Quick.
And the two gunshots you heard, were they quick?
They were quick.
Little bit of lack of clarity there, but that was the line of questioning. Police even investigated whether the sound of Geiger's key in Botham Jean's door should have raised her suspicions that she was in the wrong apartment.
My understanding, it's a radio frequency. That's what RFID stands for.
Okay. And when you stick in a key, like when you stuck in Mr. Jean's key, what color does the light blink when it recognizes it?
Green.
Okay. And is there a mechanical noise associated with that that allows you to turn the lock left or right, lock or unlock?
Yes, I would describe it as like a whirring sound.
When you put in a key that it doesn't recognize, in this case, Amber Geiger's key, what color does the blinking indicator, what color does it blink?
It blinks red. In the video, it looks yellow, but it does blink red.
Will it allow you to turn it left or right?
It will not activate it. Yeah, you can't operate the lock at all.
Do you hear that whirling sound when her key was stuck in?
There was no audible sound, no.
Is it fair to conclude that there is a difference between both visual and auditory, between a key that the door recognizes and a key the door doesn't recognize?
That would be fair.
A hearing outside the presence of the jury examined whether prosecutors would be able to present evidence that Geiger may have received special treatment and perhaps was told what to say. One of the officers turned off the camera inside the police cruiser that the defendant was sitting in after a police union representative asked that the camera be turned off. The judge ultimately said the state would not be able to present or not be able to ask whether Geiger's treatment was irregular compared to the treatment of normal suspects. Here is questioning on this issue about the union president's involvement.
Since President arrived, the in-car video has been turned off.
Yes, ma'am. When he made that indication to Sergeant Valentine, Sergeant Valentine reached into her car.
Is he perchance also a licensed attorney?
I do not believe he's a licensed attorney. I certainly am not suggesting to the court that this is sanctioned policy of the Dallas Police Department. I don't know what their policy is in this regard. However, I can tell you that from the testimony already elicited, I believe that this conduct departs from how anybody other than police officers are treated, and I think that that goes to the investigation.
In our body-worn camera policies, when our officers speak to a supervisor, that's not recorded. I made notification to him that the in-car camera's rolling. He said that's not supposed to happen. Like, that's not supposed to be going right now.
Do you have reason to believe that you were told to turn off the in-car video because Amber Geiger was a police officer and her association wanted that turned off?
No, I believed it was because everyone thought she was on duty. At that time, I didn't know that she was off duty. And I always thought that those conversations were private because of the rep and the attorney.
There was no attorney present.
I understand.
Attorney Sue Ann Robinson works for a law firm which represents the family of victim Botham Jean.
He not only sang in the church choir, but he served his community. He was very active in his community, in his hometown in St. Lucia, in terms of serving the youth and in terms of just doing a lot of community service. He wasn't just like a do no harm kind of person. He was a do well, do good, help others sort of person. The way that his family is dealing with it is just to go forward. They have the hashtag Be Like Bo, just encouraging people to, you know, serve their community, be the best person they can be, which is how he lived his life. So the family has chosen to deal with it by celebrating his life as opposed to focusing on how his life has ended. However, the family does definitely want Amber Geiger brought to justice for what she did.
Our guests are here now to help break down what's happened in this case though thus far. Jesse Weber is an attorney and a fellow host here on the Law and Crime Network. So, Jesse, was there special treatment afforded to Amber Geiger here? And if so, is it really relevant to the question of murder?
Absolutely. That's the main question that we have in this case, is the idea of, do we treat her as a normal private citizen, or do we treat her as somebody that has special skills? That's the first part of the analysis. The other part of the analysis is, why did she not render aid as quickly as her fellow officers who came to the scene? And what did they do when they got there? Were they automatically trying to protect her then, or are they trying to protect her now in this trial as they testify in this case? Because she's not like everybody else, and I think that's the big thing that the prosecution wants the jury to remember.
Attorney Lisa Lockwood, should this defendant be held to a higher standard than the average person who would potentially be a suspect should some other person have done something like this?
Right. I'm not an attorney. I'm a crime analyst, former police
officer. Sorry about that.
No worries. So yes, they should have the same exact standard as a citizen. So what happened there, I think the confusion when the sergeant said, was she treated differently? Why were the cameras turned off? There was some speculation on whether or not was she on duty. She just left. She was in her uniform, and people were still trying to sort out what exactly happened. So at that point, was she being arrested or taken in for questioning?
Okay, and how should it have rolled out? Should she have been treated like someone wearing a uniform off duty who was, in other words, a member of the force, or should they have isolated her, put her in the back seat, kept the camera rolling, everything else?
Well, my belief is at that point she was being interviewed to find out whether or not there was going to be a charge against her. So she was not arrested because they had not ascertained what exactly transpired.
Joseph Scott Morgan, you're the forensic expert along with us here watching this case. I thought that the analysis, the testimony about the key, the electronic key, I thought that was very telling because it's another piece the prosecutor can use to argue, look, she should have known she was in the wrong place.
Yeah, she, you know, the perception is that she should have had an awareness. He goes some distance talking about this mechanical whirring sound that occurs when you get a positive hit on this key being inserted, that it tells you, you know, that this is your key, that this is your door, you're accessing it appropriately, the little green light's supposed to go off. How many times has she done this, Aaron? You know, repeatedly since she's lived there. She should have been aware. But again, we have to factor in all these other, you know, stressors that are involved here. We're talking about somebody that's worked a 13-hour plus shift. She works with a high risk unit. She's got the sexting thing going on. She's just looking to get home. So all of this is going to come into play as this narrative continues to unfold.
A complicated case, and still ahead tonight here in the debrief, we are going to go back to the case against Amber Geiger with a key ruling by the judge, which cuts into the defense theory of the case. Plus, closing arguments in the death penalty trial of a Florida man accused of sex crimes and murder. The victim, only 9 years old. The death penalty trial of a Florida man accused of killing a 9-year-old girl. Felicia Williams disappeared in 2014 and her naked body later turned up on a causeway in Old Tampa Bay. Defendant Granville Ritchie, who goes by Trevor, is accused of sexually assaulting the girl, beating her and strangling her to death. The jury now has the case. The state star witness was Ebony Wiley. After saying the victim went to pick up candy and never returned, she admitted lying to police. She then said this witness went out to get drugs for the defendant, and when she returned, the victim was gone and the defendant was nervous. That's when she said the defendant asked her to lie about what happened. During closing arguments in this case, the defense tried to force the jury to make its own determination of the facts of this case and to not simply rely on the prosecutor.
He has simply failed. And so because he knows he's failed and because he knows he cannot prove and has not proven those allegations, he wants to tell you that he has proven it, that it's crystal clear. Members of the jury, what happened to Felicia Williams is absolutely horrific. No family, no little girl should ever have to suffer as Felicia Williams has suffered. No mother should ever have to suffer as her parents have suffered. No sibling should ever have to suffer as her siblings have suffered. But that being said, we as a nation, for over 200 years, have said that when the state points the finger at a fellow citizen and says that he committed these horrible crimes, they better present evidence.
The state claims the defendant moved the victim's body in a suitcase, and the state also said during closing arguments that although authorities never found the suitcase, the evidence against the defendant was nonetheless overwhelming.
We don't know where that suitcase is. We couldn't give it to you because of his manipulation and destruction and cover-up on this crime. We know that wheel caved in because she's 120 pounds. This kid is 120 pounds, the size of a lot of grown women. Suitcases aren't designed for 120 pounds. The limit for carry-on is 50 pounds, I believe, for most airlines. There is no doubt in this case who murdered Felicia Williams. And counsel is right. Mr. Harmon is going to stand up here and tell you that we've proven this case beyond any doubt and that it is crystal clear. You have heard evidence that interlocks, corroborates each other. Strong, powerful evidence. When he murdered this little girl, he did it alone behind closed doors. When he raped her, he did it in the privacy of his mother's apartment. When he sought out the darkness of the Courtney Campbell Causeway to dump her body like some bag of garbage, he sought out a dark, secluded area, one of only two on the entire causeway, according to Captain Lowell and Sergeant Spaulding. Captain Lowell told us when he went out there at night to visualize it, it was pitch black. Nobody could have seen him from the roadway, from the thoroughfare of the Courtney Campbell Causeway. And he selected that because you can see in those aerial photos, wide open areas on both sides. But he went right to that location where she just happens to have been located.
Jury deliberations continue in that case. And now back to the trial of Amber Guyger for shooting and killing Botham Jean. Many of the officers called to testify do have opinions about their former colleague now sitting in the defendant's chair. Here is testimony outside the presence of the jury about whether the Texas Ranger called to handle the matter as a member of an outside agency thinks the shooting was justified. The questioning here is from the defense.
Do you believe today that you have probable cause to believe that Amber Guyger committed a crime?
Based on the totality of the circumstances, based on the complete investigation, no, sir.
Do you have an opinion as to whether it was reasonable for Amber Guyger to have believed she was in her apartment when she encountered the complaining witness?
Yes, I do.
And what is that opinion?
That she believed that there was a burglar in her apartment.
And that it was reasonable?
Yes.
And do you have an opinion as to whether it was reasonable, an ordinary, prudent person in Amber Geiger's position for her to perceive that Botham Jean was a deadly threat?
Yes, sir. I believe that she did perceive him as a deadly threat.
The judge decided not to let that officer testify on the ultimate matter of whether the shooting was justified and also made rulings on a number of other matters that this witness could not discuss.
I will not allow him to offer testimony concerning the reasonableness of Ms. Geiger's actions. And I will not allow him to testify concerning how he knows for certain where Mr. John was when he was shot. Because I think based on all the evidence that we have, I don't know that that determination can be made. Nor do I believe that we can determine from the trajectory of the bullet in the wall which bullet was fired first or second. So I'm not going to allow that testimony.
The judge's ruling will be a drawback for the defense, which said during opening statements that the shooting was reasonable and therefore was a justifiable use of force.
Amber Guyger firmly and reasonably believed that she was in her own apartment. Amber Guyger firmly and reasonably believed that she had confronted an intruder in her apartment. Amber Guyger firmly and reasonably believed that she had no choice, that she had no options but to use her gun to keep from dying. That was her firm and reasonable belief.
Back now to our panel of experts for analysis on this case. I'll start with you, Jesse Weber, yet again here. This reasonableness standard, I think the judge made a good ruling there, not letting that officer sort of give an opinion about it. That's a matter for the jury, and I don't think it's a matter for another member of law enforcement to discuss.
Well, maybe not at this point. You know, he was tasked with providing testimony about his analysis of the crime scene. Maybe later on they're going to bring a specific expert to talk about use of force, which we've seen in other cases. And that's the testimony that maybe the defense can get in and the jury will hear, because it's so important for them to get an expert opinion about why this was a reasonable use of justifiable force.
And many questions as to whether or not a fellow officer is the person who should be giving that sort of expert testimony, or perhaps someone as a member of the academic crowd. Joseph Scott Morgan, testimony about where the victim was sitting based on the location of sandals and things like that. Again, is there another way to get there? Is there a way to say, well, this is where the sandals were, and then just argue on closing, this is probably where he was sitting?
Yeah, I think that at best it's going to be speculative. I don't know that you can, you know, there's no proverbial nail to hang your hat on relative to that. I'm much more interested, I think. We have evidence that he was eating the ice cream, has been aforementioned. He's in that particular location. I'm much more interested, as the judge had mentioned just a moment ago, she spoke to the trajectory of these rounds. I'd like to hear a finer point on that. I got to tell you, I don't want to run far afield here, but I'm kind of puzzled by them asking this investigator to render an expert opinion on whether or not he thought this was justified or not. It's kind of left me scratching my head.
Well, look, the defense is trying to get that in there, having everybody say this was justified, because that's what the defense is arguing. Lisa Lockwood, techniques in this case, should Amber Geiger have done what she did, or was that completely out of line?
In police training, if you walk into a residence, walk in anywhere, and you see somebody that you believe is a burglar, you have no opportunity to call for backup because you are being confronted in that moment. She took action, and the action was firing two shots. And that is what is taught in all police training. It's not taught, you're not taught to fire two shots to kill, it's to stop the threat. There was no intention on her part going home that day, walking into her apartment, which she thought was her apartment, finding somebody there and saying, oh, today's the day that I'm gonna kill somebody. So all of her training has to come into play in this. What was she thinking in that moment? I'm walking into my apartment. I have somebody, an intruder who does not belong here. What is my action?
Exactly. So much for the jury to parse out in this case. Appreciate the insight from the panel. Thank you for joining us on The Debrief. We appreciate it. Live coverage of this case will resume in just a moment on the network.